The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
A few just for time and for emphasis. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and then I'm going to jump down to verses 10 through 11. It says, "Now it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. Spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him, and he said, 'Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down.'" I'm reading from the NASB. Jump down to verse 10. It says, "Thus in Judah, it was said, 'The strength of the burden bearers is failing.'" God Almighty. "Yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Our enemies said they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work." On today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject that, again, you, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to speak into somebody's hearts today. We want to talk about some biblical principles on how to handle discouragement. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Biblical principles for how to handle discouragement. Again, the series that we started back on June the 2nd, as the Lord had put into my heart, it was one that when I looked down the barrel, I wasn't sure how it would come out, how we would do. But here we are at the end. There's been 8 messages. And so I'll say this to somebody here. If you desire to have them, I know that we have them on our CD. Stress management, conflict, living beyond our mistakes, failure, et cetera, et cetera. All of those life application type subjects that all of us, even as Christians, we deal with. Amen. And so you're welcome to have it. And the premise of this series has certainly been on this idea of intending to live. Remember, folk always want to ask how you're living. And for too many of us, we say same old, come on somebody. Amen, amen. But not too many of us ever ask, how do you intend to live? In other words, we always say yesterday is gone and tomorrow is not promised, but based on right now, even the last moment is gone. How do you intend to live going forward? What's your aim? What's your purpose? What are your goals? Amen. But along the way, there are going to be things that happen, like life. Amen? So today, we want to deal with discouragement. And for somebody, again, they may ask, well, how are we going to end a series on a subject like discouragement? Because we want you to leave. We want to meet you where you are and actually have you leave here encouraged by the will of God. Amen? Amen. So last week, as part of our series, for those of you who were here, I remember I spoke about depression. And I shared that we all feel sad or moody or low from time to time. And remember, those are the normal expressions with regards to life struggles. However, for some people, they actually experience those feelings more intensely and for a lot longer period, days and weeks and months and even years. And they experience that without letting up. And as a result, that can change the way they think or the way they feel, which can lead into what's called as clinical depression. And I shared that in general, depression is a psychological condition that changes how you think and how you feel. And it also affects your social behavior and your sense of physical well-being. So, of course, today I talked about the fact that I want to talk about discouragement. Now, for somebody, they may be trying to differentiate between discouragement and depression. Well, there's an old story that I think you may relate to. Story is told about the devil was having an auction one day. He was selling his tools from his toolbox. Pride, laziness, arrogance, hate, envy, jealousy, and all of those tools had some very high price tags. But Sister Cargill, there was one tool, however, that was marked not for sale. It was worn down and it looked rough. Someone asked the devil, they said, "Devil, why isn't this tool for sale? I mean, you're selling everything else. I mean, it's not worth much because it looks like it's been used an awful lot." The devil smiled thinly and he whispered and he said, "That tool is discouragement. That tool for me is priceless. So I'm not going to part with that tool. Matter of fact, it's my most used tool. But when I use it, I pry open the heart of someone and I get inside. And once I'm inside, I can pretty much do anything I want." My brothers and my sisters, discouragement is an entry point for Satan. You remember when Cain was given his offering and God asked him, he says, "Why is your countenance so low?" And he said, "You got to be careful because you can't give place to the devil. That's all he needs is a foothold." And sometimes that becomes the entry point. It's discouragement. For discouragement can easily lead to feeling defeated and even feelings of depression. And as Christians, we need to understand that is exactly what Satan wants. He wants us to forget what God has done. He wants us to forget Christ's death on the cross, his victory over sin and death. I mean, what else can the devil do? Come on, somebody. Because if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then guess what? You need to be reassured. The devil cannot claim I have your soul. However, he can give you a feeling of defeat and a sense of displeasure while we are walking on this side of time. All of us, from the pulpit to the door, all of us need a certain amount of courage or even encouragement to make it through this life. But how often have you been discouraged? Come on, somebody. In other words, you may be trying to do something and somebody will say, "You could never do that." And so guess what? You don't even try. Thus, you have what is called discouraged. That word discouraged, listen, think about this. There's some teaching. Dis is a Latin prefix meaning apart or asunder or away or having a negative or reversing force. Remember, I said all of us need courage to make it through this life. So discouragement is a tool that the enemy uses, wants this to turn progress into retreat. It's a tool of leverage to move someone towards quitting, not trying, or just plain giving up. One of the reasons it's such a powerful tool is because we are extremely susceptible to discouragement. And here's something else you need to know. Discouragement is also highly contagious. What do you mean, Pastor King, when you say that discouragement is contagious? Well, think about it for a moment. If you know somebody, especially a close member, a close family member, a friend who is discouraged, then guess what? You could potentially become discouraged. But now you are discouraged, and because you are discouraged, other people then get discouraged, and there you go. It becomes a vicious cycle. Amen. Perhaps that's why the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13a, the NASB said it this way. Watch this. It says, "Encourage one another day after day, as long," watch this, "as it is still called today." See, we love to say in church, we got churchy type speak. You know, yesterday is gone, tomorrow's not promised, all we have is today. So what you gonna do with your today? You can't try to encourage somebody on yesterday. That's over. You should have done that yesterday. Don't wait for what you need to do today for tomorrow. All you have is today. So today, let the Lord use you and encourage somebody. Story that we read here in our text in Nehemiah chapter 4 illustrates the danger of discouragement. You recall, just for short background, that Nehemiah was a leader of the Jewish people that had returned to Israel from Babylon to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. They had a whole lot of energy. They had a whole lot of excitement. But after working for just a little while, the Bible tells us that they got discouraged. And here it is, to make matters worse. When you're down, come on, somebody, not only do some folk come and they're down with you, there's some folk who come and keep you down and put you down. They want to put their foot on your throat. Come on, somebody. So to make matters worse, people came and they started to criticize them. And eventually, I don't know about you, but eventually all of that negative talk, all of that ridicule, all of that criticism started to have an impact. So from this passage of scripture, I want to highlight some different things, some reasons why anybody can become discouraged, and some ways for us to handle it. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit showed me from this text is one of the first reasons that we can all become susceptible to discouragement is fatigue. Fatigue. These people were worn out. Hear me today. They were worn out spiritually and they were worn out physically. Hope you didn't close your Bible. Look at the text in verse 10. Look at the text in verse 10. It says, the strength of the burden bearers, or the strength of the laborers in some translations, is given out. In other words, watch this. They were under constant, we were talking about it, they were under constant spiritual attack. I don't know if you know it or not, but physiologically, water can wear mountains down over time. Amen. And the Jews were attacked over and over and over again. Continued attacks can wear out the best of any person, man, woman, boy, or girl. Now, I don't have time to read all and review all of the scriptures today, but I want to share with you, I'm hoping you're taking notes, I want to share with you some verses that will show you and show all of us the continuous attacks that they were under. Somebody doesn't know it, but while we dressed up, some of y'all are under continuous attack right now. Attack, whether it's at home, on your job, it might even be right in the house of God. How do I know? Because the devil comes to church too. Amen. Amen. But not only do I want to give you these verses to remind you of these attacks, you also need to know, write the scripture down. I don't know if it's going to be on your slide, but Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. It says, listen, one of the things of the Antichrist is to wear out or to wear down the saints of the Most High. So when you have time, write these scriptures down. When you have time, I want you to read Ezra chapter 4, verse 4. Ezra chapter 4, verse 4. Here in Nehemiah, I want you to go back and I want you to read Nehemiah chapter 2. Look at verse 10 and verse 19. Nehemiah 2, 10 and 19. Then right here in our text, our own chapter text, I want you to reread and refocus on here in chapter 4, verse 1, verse 7, verse 8, verse 10, and verse 12. That's a lot of attack. Wait a minute, I got one more. Even over in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. That's just enough verses right there to tell you about the continuous attack that these people were under. And all of them show continual harassment of the Jews that they had from the enemy. Now, remember Judah. Now, this is Judah. It was said about Judah, watch this, that Judah usually signifies the spiritually strong in Israel. They're the praisers. You know, they say, send Judah out first. Amen. But here they had gotten so down in the mouth that the text says, we can't do this anymore. Killing the laborers. Watch this. I'm about to make a point here. I believe the New King James and the NIV use laborers. The NASB and the King James say burden bearers. In other words, what you need to see, regardless of what term is used, you need to see those who've been carrying the load. The intercessors, the encouragers, the people who have been getting the job done. Listen, we're not talking about people who were doing nothing. These are the people who are normally carrying the load. And I'm here to let anybody know, I don't care what church you attend, a church is in great, grave danger when the burden bearers get worn out. Amen. But then you got to say, well, what caused it? What happened? How did they get worn out? Drop down to verse 22 of your text. Drop down to verse 22 of the text. Look at what Nehemiah raised, and I got to see this. It says, at the time I also said to the people, let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem, so that they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day. What did the Holy Spirit show me? He said, King, in other words, they were working day and night. 24 hours a day, if you will. And then what the Holy Spirit shared to me, and I need to share with you, is the Sabbath is God's idea. Come on, somebody. And so this is from the pulpit to the door, but a day off. Come on, somebody. A day off is good for everybody. Amen. Amen. Vacations, rest. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Time off from work is necessary. I mean, come on now. I mean, we know when small children need a nap. How do we know? They get the whining. Come on, somebody. They get the crying. They get cranky. And we say one of two things. They're either hungry, or the first thing we say, they need a nap. Amen. Well, what makes us think we are so different now that we've gotten a little older? Discouragement is contagious, my brothers and sisters, my sisters. And when the conditions are right, and in this case, it was prolonged spiritual attack and physical exhaustion. Here's something else I found in the text. Not only were they fatigued, there was frustration. Anybody been frustrated? Don't raise your hand. Watch the text. Back in verse 10, watch the text. It says, the strength of the burden bearers, or the strength of the laborers, is giving out. Then it says, yet there is much rubbish. So again, I'm an inquisitive Bible reader. I had Sister Keeling. I had to put the brakes on. I said rubbish. In other words, what they were saying is there is so much junk in the way. Teach up in this house, Holy Ghost. There is so much junk in the way that we cannot build the wall. And I don't know about you, but when there's a whole bunch of junk, you've been walking around, I don't care if it's house, at work, at church, whatever, but like, where's all this junk? It's frustrating. It can be discouraging. So you got to ask, what's rubbish? And for them, keeping it in the context, for them, watch this, it was the remains of the old wall. Teach up in this house. Watch this. It was the remains of the old wall, but they're trying to build a new wall. But the old broken rocks, God Almighty, were everywhere. There was dirt, there was mortar, there was so much stuff that they had to deal with. And when they looked at all the junk, they didn't see any way to get the real job done, which was building the wall. And I don't know about you. I don't care if it's on your job or whatever. That can be frustrating and discouraging. But if you're taking notes, write this down. I don't care what project you have. I don't care if it's a relationship. I don't care if it's your finances. I don't care if it's ministry. Whenever you do a project, there's going to be some rubbish. There's going to be some rubbish involved, and it can indeed make you frustrated. Even when it comes to relationships, everybody comes with some rubbish. Some junk. Amen. You go to build something, and there's always some scraps that are left over. Gets in the way. But then it's not just little scraps. Seem like scraps multiply. Amen. Listen, you can't avoid rubbish in your life. For somebody, you're just going to have to deal with it. Listen, deal with it and quit trying to ignore it. Quit trying to pretend that stuff's not there. Why? Because if you don't deal with your rubbish, you're going to get frustrated, and frustration leads to discouragement. I just got a question, and I don't want you raising your hand. I don't even want you talking to your neighbor. But what's the rubbish in your life? What's the junk in your life? What's getting you frustrated? What's in the way that's keeping you from achieving your goals? Whatever it is that you said you set your mind towards. It's the stuff that wastes your time and consumes your energy. It's the stuff that keeps you from becoming all that you want to be. It's the stuff that keeps you from doing the things, watch this, that are really important in life. That's rubbish. That's junk. The rubbish in your life are those things that simply get in your way. And it needs to be cleaned up, not just swept under a rug. Otherwise, it's going to be frustrating. Here's something else the Holy Spirit showed me in verse 10. Watch this. It says the strength of the laborers or the burden bearers is giving out, yet there is much rubbish. Then it says, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. They're speaking that into themselves. They're speaking that into folk around them. And we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. So one more reason I found for folk getting discouraged right here from the text is failure mentally, or mental failure. The people said, we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. In other words, you know what they're saying in plain talk? They're saying, we can't do it. They're saying it's impossible. Matter of fact, they're saying it's even foolish to try. We just give up. They had talked themselves into failure, and instead of trying harder. Because they hadn't finished the wall as quickly as they hoped to, they gave up. There's somebody looking for something to happen instantly. And if you're saying, if it ain't happened by now, come on, somebody, it's not going to happen. And you get impatient. But in this case, the confidence went down the tubes. They lost heart. They got discouraged. And they said, we can't do it. So we're just not going to do anything. I got to ask you a rhetorical question. How do you handle failure in your life? I mean, do you have a pity party? Do you say, oh, poor me, I can't get this job done? Do you start complaining and saying it's impossible, it can't be done? Or watch this, I'm speaking to somebody, don't look around. Maybe you say, you start blaming other folk. You say, no, it's not me, but everybody else let me down. Everybody else, they didn't do their job. Don't you ever find it amazing that your students, we did when we went to, but it ain't never my fault I ain't passing class. It's always the whose fault? Teacher's fault. But don't you find it amazing? Come on, I got teachers in the house. But don't you also find it amazing that it ain't just that teacher, but every class that you have you struggle with, it's that teacher too. That's a failure mentality. How you think about whatever it is that you wish to do or accomplish makes a huge difference in your life. I'll say it again. I said, how you think about whatever it is that you wish to do or accomplish makes a huge difference in your life. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, either way, you're right. Amen. So you got to ask yourself, okay, I hear you, all the stuff that's causing me to discourage. How can I get some help in here? Well, here it is. I'm not here to make it up. It's in the text. Watch the text. The first thing you need to do, I only got a couple points and we're going to have communion. The first thing you need to do is you need to reevaluate your goals. God Almighty. So you're fatigued, you're frustrated, you got a failure mentality. How do you come out of this mess? I don't care what it is. You just put whatever the topic is and you say, I'm frustrated about that and that, and I hear you. How can I get some help? First thing you need to do is reevaluate your goals. Where do you get that from the text, Pastor King? Verse 13. Watch this. Look at what Nehemiah did after he heard that the people were discouraged. Verse 13, he says, then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. So, Keelan, what did the Holy Spirit teach me about that? Here's what he showed me. Rather than moving the people away from the wall, teach in this house, rather than move the people away from the wall, he moved them right up to the wall. Why? So the people could see, they could look at the wall and see how much work they had already done on the wall and how much still needed to be done. In other words, reevaluate your goals. If they walked away from the wall, they'd be giving up. But is that what you really need to do? I'm talking to somebody. I don't know what your situation is. The Holy Spirit does. But you ready to walk away from something. And is that really what you should do? You've given up. But what Nehemiah was saying was, we need to look this over. And we need to get this problem solved. When you get discouraged, don't give up on your goals. Instead, figure out a way to get it done. When you get discouraged, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing the wrong thing. You may have just gotten tired. You may have just gotten frustrated. You may have just gotten discouraged, but I'm here to encourage you and tell you, don't give up. Reevaluate what you're doing. In other words, revisit your why. Was it wrong for the Jews to be building the wall? See, that's what some people say. Was this wrong in the first place? Mm-mm, no, it wasn't. Why? Because they needed protection. They needed to feel secure. They needed a sense of accomplishment. Listen, they were halfway to the goal. Now they just simply needed to keep going. The Jews in Jerusalem needed a wall. Yes, they'd gotten discouraged, but they needed to keep building. That's when you figure out that this is bigger than you. Amen. This is bigger than you. Amen. Even when it comes to family, this is bigger than you and your little feelings. It's about the big picture. Amen. They needed to reevaluate where they were going, and they needed to keep moving toward the goal. They also needed a positive attitude, and they needed to change their way of thinking. Do you have a problem? You got some problems? Let me simply encourage you to tell you, don't give up. You keep right on going. God's message to you, I don't know who you are, but it, to you, is you reevaluate where you are at this point. Remember, yesterday is gone, tomorrow's not promised. It's how do you intend to live right now going forward? That's it. So what are you reevaluating? Not just your goal, watch this. Reevaluate your time, reevaluate your schedule. Reevaluate your goals, but you keep moving forward. Yeah, you might need to clear out some clutter and some rubble and some trivial. Clean out all that stuff that's wasting your time, and you keep moving forward. But here's the second thing I'm going to show you, and I'm about to close this thing. Just because you reevaluate your goals don't mean the devil's not through with you. I mean, the devil's not going to say, oh, okay, they're reevaluating. They're getting serious now. Mm-mm. You reevaluate your goals, but the second thing you do is you need to be ready to fight. Come on, somebody. Be ready to fight. So I thought about what Blaylock wants to do with the kids, and I get it. But sometimes we got to be ready to fight. But here's where I'm going to give us some context. Look at the scripture in verse 13. He says, I station the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. I don't know if that caught your attention, but it sure caught mine. I'm thinking, my God, he's done showed them the wall, but they got weapons. Huh? I said, why would Nehemiah do this? Why would he have them carry their weapons with them? Come on, somebody. Because they needed to be ready to fight. Why would you go to work without your weapon? Come on, somebody. Who doesn't carry their Bible with them? Who doesn't carry some prayer with them? You need some weapons. Amen. For the Bible teaches that for all of us, as Christians especially, we are always in constant spiritual warfare. We're in constant battle. We're in constant spiritual conflict, fighting with negative forces. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of Christians. Amen. He loves to get us down. He loves to see us discouraged. Why? Because he knows, watch this, that a discouraged Christian has limited potential. He knows that when you're down, your effectiveness is neutralized. So he does everything in his power to discourage us. James said in James 4:7, he says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But there's a process. You got to submit. Come on, somebody. We still want to do what we want to do, however we want to do it, whenever. And then we do it and then say, Lord, we want you to bless it. You submit to God first. Resist the devil and he will flee. The devil ain't offended. He ain't scared of you coming to church. He not even scared of you carrying your big Bible. He not even scared of your smooth church talk. Resist the devil. So how do you resist the devil? You're going to have to learn to resist the devil's negative thoughts. Resist getting discouraged. You do not have to be discouraged in this life, but it is your choice. It's your choice. You may choose to give in or to give up, or you can simply refuse to be discouraged. Perceived strong or mighty Christians are ordinary people just like you and I with extraordinary amounts of persistence. They just keep hanging in there, keep on keeping on like grandma used to say, and never giving up. As I get ready to open the doors of the church, I glean from Pastor Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, verse 14. He says, when I saw their fear, he said, I rose and spoke to the nobles. He said, I rose and I spoke to the officials and all the rest of the people. And the Bible says that Nehemiah told the people, do not be afraid of them. He said, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Come on, somebody. He said, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight. Come on, somebody. He said, fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So what does it mean to remember the Lord? I know they're struggling over at the school, trying to get the kids to talk about God. Ask them if they know prayer and then read the Bible. Do you remember what the Lord has done? And they ask, what do you want me to remember about the Lord? First of all, you need to remember, number one, remember God's goodness to you in the past. Care how big and bad you think you are, you didn't get this far by yourself. When you start thinking about all the wonderful things that God has already done in your life, I guarantee that will lift your spirit. But not only remember God in your past, you remember God's closeness in your presence. Teach, Holy Ghost. In other words, what is God doing in your life right now? You didn't wake up yourself. You didn't get here all by yourself. What is God doing in your life right now? He is here whether you feel him or not. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The third thing you need to remember is God's power for the future. He will give you the strength that you need. The Bible says in 1 John 4 and 4, the NASB, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. But I like the way the Message translation puts it. It says, my dear children, you come from God. Take the scripture with you, Finley. My dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won a big victory over those false teachers, for the Spirit is in you, for the Spirit in you is far greater than anything in the world. We don't have to make this stuff up. It's right here in Scripture. My dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won a big victory, watch this, over those false teachers, all those folk who said you weren't going to make it this far, all those folk who said that you were never going to come out of what you've been in, all of those folk who doubted because you know you messed up, and they went back looking for you in a messed up state, and God said you have already been victorious over the false teachers. As a matter of fact, how do I know? Not because I had a 12-step, 10-step program, for the Spirit in you is far greater, far stronger than anything in the world. Remember, your thoughts determine your feelings. And if you feel discouraged, it's because you're thinking discouraged thoughts. Your mindset is wrong. If you want to feel encouraged instead, start thinking encouraging thoughts. God wants us to be encouraged, not discouraged. And that's why the Bible says, encourage one another day after day. As long as it is still called what? Today. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.